Delaney, America Tonight. As you know, we spent some time in Washington, D.C., and we caught up with a lot of different people talking about health care. We caught up with California Congressman Becerra, and he shared his thoughts on affordable health care and the act and where it's headed. Broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Very thrilled to be joined by Congressman Becerra, who represents a district in Los Angeles, of course, a big district in Los Angeles. And I know we have many listeners concerned about what's going on with health care. We've been talking about some of the misconceptions out there. First of all, let's roll the clock back for a second. The president of the State of the Union the other night mentioned that, hey, anything is workable here, and we're willing to work and reach across the aisle, and if there's some things that that some suggestions and some things that we could do to work this out, where he didn't say it quite that way, but where everybody's a little happier with it, kind of that's what he was insinuating. I thought that was interesting when he brought that up, so I wondered your reaction to the president saying that. Do you think that's true? I mean, that maybe there's some things you could cherry-pick out of the Affordable Care Act?
Well, Kate, I think in America, that's what we've been known for, is building, always making things better. And my sense from the State of the Union, where the president essentially, once again, proved that this is America. If we can do it better, let's figure out a way to make it better.
Yeah.
He made it very clear. We've now got in law rights and protections for Americans that we've never had before within health care. And so let's build on that success, and make it even better. As he said, we know that there are things that we can do that will improve health care opportunities for Americans. Let's build on that.
And so you were happy, obviously, when it passed, and you look now at this push with the switch to the midterm elections. I don't have to tell you the landscape. There's the repeal vote. Looks like nothing happens out of the Senate. And then the president, of course, has the veto power. Are you concerned, though, at all about the push to let's just rip it by some of the Republicans to just rip it up and shred the whole thing?
In a democracy, you want to have debate, vigorous debate. And so if this can lead to making our health care system work even better, that would be great. Certainly removing rights and protections that people now have. I mean, the mother who just delivered a child, and that child may have unfortunately been born with some form of pre-existing condition, that mother today doesn't have to worry as she did just a year ago, where that child would not have qualified for health insurance under the mother's policy. Today, she has that right to know that her child will have health insurance. So those are the kinds of protections that we now have. Those are the types of rights that we now have. I don't think anyone wants to give those up. And so repeal would simply eliminate those rights and protections. What we want to do is build on them and make them even stronger and better.
What about the cost of health care coverage? You know, in your own area in Los Angeles, so much was made about Anthem Blue Cross and the fact that you had double-digit increases.
Yeah.
And California is a wonderful place. I lived there. I loved living in California. But there's a lot of expenses to living on the left coast. So you know, and I'm sure your phone rings off the hook with people that are so upset about the premiums. What can be done about that? Because essentially, you were talking about the insurance companies here having the leeway to move up the premiums.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Kate, because no one's telling anyone in America that if it's your business, you have a right to make some money from your business. The problem, of course, is that when an insurance company tells you they're going to raise your rate 60-70% in 1 year, you wonder what business they're really doing and who they're really looking after. And so the great thing about the historic law that we now have in healthcare, we now get to find out what they're doing with the money they're charging us in premiums, because those insurance companies will now have to report how they spent their money. Was it to provide health care services to those who are paying the premiums, or was it to pay bonuses to the CEO or to rack up huge profits? That's one of the great things about the new law that people don't even know about. But what we have to do is make our healthcare system better, reform our system so it's more affordable, and that was the purpose of the historic healthcare bill that we passed last year. We will find that more people will now have access to healthcare, yet at the end of the day, we're going to save money through this new law because we're going to be able to have healthcare dispensed in a more rational way.
I said rational
way.
I caught that. What do you say to the critics who say, well, wait, small businesses are getting so jammed up by this. It's not affordable. That's just a bill of goods that were being sold. It's not right. The numbers don't add up. The CBO is all wrong. It's fuzzy math. What do you say to that?
First, I say if you're going to start to challenge the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, the nonpartisan referee that Republicans and Democrats have used for years as the unofficial scorekeeper, the nonpartisan scorekeeper, then you may as well say you don't want to follow any rules. You may as well say you want the game to be played the way you want it to be played, when you want it to be played. Because you have to ask someone who serves as a referee. If you're going to blame the referee and kick the referee off the field, then forget it. The rules are not rules. And so first, it's the CBO who has said to us, we're going to save money as a result of this new law. But secondly, what we have to recognize is that people do see on the ground with their families increasing health care costs. They need to see the results of lower premiums, and they will begin to see that. They'll begin to see it because all of a sudden now, a senior in America could go get preventative health care, wellness checkup, and all the way, as you're ready to pull out your wallet to pay for that, the doctor's going to say, wait, Mr. Smith or Mrs. Smith, you don't have to pay this time. And when the senior says, well, what do you mean? Well, the new health law provides you with the right to have annual wellness checkups without being charged. That's something that we now have as a right. That will help us lower the out-of-pocket expenses we have, and ultimately that makes us a healthier country.
Yeah, and do you think prevention is the key? Because that's something people really haven't focused on in healthcare.
Prevention is critical. If you wait till you're too sick, it costs a lot more money. And for those people who don't have good health insurance or too costly health insurance, they'll wait a long time, even if they do have health insurance, because they can't afford to pay the bill. Well, guess what? If you've just made preventative care far less costly, you've just made for a healthier America.
Yeah. One last question just for fun. I'm a huge Lakers fan. How are the Lakers going to do? Are they going to win again? I mean, the Lakers are just a dynasty.
Yeah. Never bet against Kobe. If Andrew Bynum stays strong, I think that the team knows how to win. The team will go into the playoffs. If they're healthy, they'll go into them with the right mental attitude and never count them out. There's some stiff competition, but my Lakers, they're going to do it.
Spoken like a true politician. Congressman Becerra, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Kate, thank you so much.
All right, we go from Congressman Becerra to fast forward just earlier in the day in Washington. Here's what President Obama had to say about health care and spending. Check it out.
The nonpartisan congressional watchdogs at the CBO estimate that health care tax credits will be worth nearly $40 billion for small businesses over the next decade. I am eager to work with both parties and with the chamber to take additional steps across the budget to put our nation on a sounder fiscal footing.
All right, so there we go again. It's the same conversation, knowing what's coming down the path. Okay, so are we going to work together and the whole business aspect of it? The president speaking at a big chamber event and talking to businesses and what's in it for them. And there's your twist with health care. Coming up next on America Tonight, we're going to break down the Super Bowl commercials. Then one of my favorite charities. Interesting how people are being helped in Latin America. You'll be surprised at how it works. That's coming up right after Super Bowl commercials. So stay with us, everybody.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula. and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ally C. Why Ally C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ally C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ally C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ally C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ally C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ally C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ally C. For more information and to order Ally C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ally C today.
Super Bowl, were you watching the Packers finally closing the deal? Were you paying attention to the three Steeler turnovers that killed their chances? Did you think the Steelers were coming back? Forget about all that. Everybody I talked to, and it was a record-breaking audience that watched the Super Bowl, they were jazzed about the commercials. I'll tell you the commercial I liked. I love the Darth Vader commercial. I love the whole Volkswagen Darth Vader thing. I had no idea that was going to happen at the end, and I loved it. The dad, he's there in the kitchen. Boom. The kid thinks that he's making the car lights come on, making the car make the noise. It was awesome. I thought that was such a great spot. But the spot, according to AdMeter, that everybody really, really liked, and they liked the Darth Vader commercial, was the Doritos and the Pug commercial. And the guy that made that wasn't even in advertising. He was a part-time web designer who ended up getting $1 million from Frito-Lay because the commercial was number one. And a lot of people were definitely buzzing about that. Someone who knows all about creating the buzz and branding is Gilbert Salazar. He joins us now. He's a branding expert, defectogroup.com. You can check him out there. Hey, Gilbert, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
It's a pleasure, Kate.
Before I ask you about branding these commercials and will it really pay off, what was your favorite commercial? What commercial did you think was the best commercial?
I'm going to have to go with Volkswagen Darth Vader. I think it was a great setup. I think it touched many audiences. It touched kids as well as parents and families. And I think it put Volkswagen in kind of a new light. It added definitely a little bit of humor to the spin.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you think, as a branding person, do you think that helps Volkswagen, like you just said there, it puts them in a different light? Will this translate into maybe some Volkswagen sales to people who weren't necessarily looking at that brand? I mean, isn't that the idea, to get people to start buzzing about Volkswagens?
I'd say, yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, brands are really wanting to connect with people. And in this particular ad, it seems to resonate with a really big group, with a really big audience. So at the end of the day, I think if people put Volkswagen Passat on their list of cars they're looking for, absolutely, it was a big win for Volkswagen.
Yeah, no kidding. I always think humor sells. But, you know, there's some people that just don't have that humor deal. They just don't have that funny bone or whatever. But I still think humor connects people. Did you notice that? And you know this. Most of the commercials do lean toward humor. In fact, almost all of them are humor-driven. I don't know if it was that way before, but humor sells, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge every year, right? I think people are accustomed to watching the Super Bowls and kind of laughing and you know, kind of gathering and discussing the ads. I think it's getting harder and harder each year to come up with really compelling, funny ads. And in this situation with Volkswagen, for example, you know, an ad as simple as that actually makes people laugh and actually got the humor across. So I think that was interesting. The other thing that was interesting was the Chrysler commercial with Eminem. Definitely no humor there. And that one was really more about the underdog coming back up to the top. And the underdog in that situation being Detroit and Chrysler. I thought that also resonated, you know, from a different perspective. Everybody likes the underdog to kind of come up on top, and that was interesting. Now, I'm not sure if that'll move any metal, but I think it was definitely an interesting spot.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I agree with you. There wasn't humor in that spot, but I was sucked in being from the East and New York and that area. I thought it was a commercial where they were highlighting New York and then talking about Chicago, and the next thing you know, Detroit. And we have a lot of listeners that are in that Michigan area and a lot of people in the auto industry that listen to America Tonight, and I'm sure they understood that. And making the connection, you're right, with Detroit, like, hey, we're here, this is Detroit. I thought it was pretty powerful, I have to agree with you. It was brilliant using Eminem, because he really is Detroit.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, like I said, I think people want to connect with brands. And at the end of the day, if the advertising agency or the brand themselves make that an objective, I think they're heading in the right direction. And in that situation, like I said, hopefully Chrysler will sell more cars because of it. I'm not sure if it will, but it was definitely a compelling spot.
Yeah, no kidding. Who did you think, what commercials do you think missed? Like, I'm not so sure in the GoDaddy spots. The Joan Rivers thing popping up. I get the whole idea of using Danica Patrick and the sexy woman thing. But I don't know. Do you think that those spots resonate, as you say, with people, or eh?
You know, I think it's kind of played out. I think GoDaddy has been creating those spots for a number of years. I think it's a little tired, and I'm not sure that, you know, they actually paid off in the end. One of the things that GoDaddy did very well early on is actually direct people to their website where they can actually see the remainder of the spot. You know, in this situation, this many years into it, I'm not sure many people want to go there.
Yeah, I agree with you, because that's the first thing I was thinking. When they said for the rest of this, I'm like, I don't want to go to GoDaddy and see the rest of this spot. I don't think so, no. Uh-oh.
Go ahead.
I just don't think we want to do that. That call to action, you know, this is what we do all the time now. I think you're right. I don't think it works.
You know, there was another spot, and we seem to be talking a lot about automotive spots because I think they were heavy, in particular in this Super Bowl, but there was another spot that featured Audi. And the spot had Kenny G in it. I believe it was in the first quarter of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The call to action with that spot was actually a hashtag that's associated with a Twitter account. The interesting part about that is that they weren't driving people necessarily to their website or their Facebook account. It was very Twitter-centric, and I believe that's the first time that's ever happened.
Ooh, we'll have to go back and check that one out. How about the Justin Bieber, Ozzy Osbourne commercial? Did you buy into that? Do you think anyone would get that?
You know, I think that was interesting. It definitely had some humor with it. And I think when you juxtapose, you know, kind of the older guy, which is Ozzy, with the younger guy, which is Justin Bieber, obviously you're going to get some laughs out of it. And I think, you know, obviously at the end of the day, people like to poke at Ozzy, and I think he's fine with that. But I'm just not sure people actually understood what the spot was for. I believe it was for Best Buy actually buying some used components that you might want to actually sell back to the store. And at the end of the day, you know, the most important thing is that the message gets across. And I'm not sure that I got across in that spot.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, isn't there? We were just talking about that humor thing. When you're talking about the kind of money that you pay for the commercials and the spots are precious, and, you know, people are grading them now and all that sort of thing, there's a lot of pressure if you're an ad exec and this is your baby. There's a lot of pressure to come up with some good stuff, and that can be pretty hard to say, okay, boom, put in the creative juices. There's pressure now on Madison Avenue, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's always been the case. I think especially now, basically what happens is, you know, you have these brands and these ad companies that basically bid for the time in accordance with the Super Bowl. And so now what's happened is that they know they're spending a huge amount of money just on the space. Now it's really up to them to come up with a really creative, compelling spot. And in many cases, that doesn't happen. Obviously, there was a lot of clutter last night. I would say that it was kind of an off year. It was good overall. I think the people, you know, that saw that some of the commercials actually, you know, kind of gravitated towards some. It was a good night overall because it looked like spend was actually up. There were more advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of quality, I don't think it was necessarily a quality year. I think there was a lot of clutter, and I think it really helped the really good compelling spots really stand out.
No, I so agree with you. I would say it was an off year, too, from the untrained eye. You heard me mention the one that was got the biggest ad meter response was the Doritos ad that the 31-year-old part-time web designer came up with, the pug charging toward him, taunting the dog. What did you think of that spot?
You know, I thought that was interesting. I thought it was, you know, it definitely had a little bit of humor associated with it. I don't think it was, you know, as interesting, I think, as other people are talking about. I think the most interesting part, like you said, is that that was basically crowdsourced. They basically, you know, crowdsourced some ideas in terms of the commercials that Dorito was working on. Frito-Lay is actually based here in Dallas, so I think it was interesting for them to kind of do that again. I know they've done it the past couple of years, and it seems to work for them. I think the audience is right for that. Now, obviously, not all brands can do that. You know, not all brands can basically reach out to the general public and work in some of the ideas. Some of them are much more sophisticated. Some of them are banking on the spot to be much more funny. And so at the end of the day, I think people will leave it to the professionals to handle.
Yeah. We only have a minute left, but do you like the idea that some of the commercials leak out and they go on YouTube? If you had a client, would you advise them to do that, give them a little sneak preview?
You know, I think it's interesting. Again, I go back to the Audi commercial. They were leaking, you know, kind of tidbits of the commercial throughout the week. As what was Volkswagen, it was generating buzz even before the Super Bowl. I think you almost have to do some of that in this case because I think people are so savvy nowadays. And also the other thing is that the payoff on the other side has to be much greater. So I think it's much more about an overall campaign as opposed to just that one spot during the game.
Yeah. Well said. Interesting talking to you. We'll have to have you back on America Tonight and break down some more of these commercials. Gilbert Salazar, check out DeFactoGroup.com, branding expert. Thanks for hopping on ATN. We appreciate it.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines. It seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one, because everything you need at Military Surplus is at mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, one of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to mainmilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99, complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish at M10 gas masks are $3 for $30, and Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. Or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup, insurance, and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Kate Delaney, of course, hanging with all of you across the nation. I'll tell you what, I met this woman probably about a year and a half ago and was so enthralled by her story and with what she's doing to help other people, one, in her native country and now a couple of other countries, too. Wait till you hear about this, because, you know, we talk about a lot of charity situations and how you can help someone help themselves. Michelle Hollander is in our virtual green room. She has put down the latte, but we're ushering her in. She's the Director of Global Development and Public Relations for Helps International. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
How are you, Kate?
I'm excellent. Hey, let's, first of all, tell everybody what, in a nutshell, tell us what Helps does. The name's intriguing. If somebody sees Helps International, they're going to scratch their head if they don't know and say, Helps International, what do they do? What do you do?
Well, Helps is an integrated approach for poverty reduction. I am from Guatemala. Like you said, I was born and raised there. And there's so much poverty in this country. And Helps was started here in the U.S. by an American person who saw the need to help the people. And he started, this is Stephen Miller, the president, he started bringing two friends that were doctors 27 years ago, and they saw that the need was so big, medical need, it was a civil war in the Highlands, and then they started bringing other friends, and within 10 years, Helps became the largest medical relief of the country in the Highlands. Helps does surgeries, and up to date right now, we take 12 medical teams to the Highlands. Every month, we take a medical team of around 100 people, and they operate on the indigenous people. We do surgeries, all kinds of cataract surgeries, OBGYN, and children. And these teams were seeing the same problem team after team when they came, and they were seeing a lot of hernia problems, a lot of upper respiratory problems, and they went to the root cause. And what it was people in Latin America, women, cook on open fires on the floor. They put three stones, and they put wood, and they do their tortillas, they boil water in a bonfire inside the house. So Helps developed a stove called the O'Neill stove. And the O'Neill stove, what it does, it uses only 30% of the wood, eliminates the smoke out of the house. It's a self-contained stove, so there is no open fire. And the beauty of it is that women can have two extra days a week in their time to do other things like educate their kids or start their own business through microcredit. So within a year, we're giving around 100 free days to women. Wouldn't you like to have 100 free days of time?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, what a great thing. How many people, and I know you probably don't know the big number, because this organization has been around since the mid-80s, but if you had to just take a guesstimate at it, Michelle, how many people do you think, how many lives do you think you've changed or you've helped change so far?
Oh, yes. That number, for example, in the medical, we have seen over 200,000 patients just in the medical side. But then if you add stoves, we have installed already 100,000 stoves in homes. And each home has at least five people. So it's 500,000 people with the stove program that has been helped in Guatemala, Mexico, and now Nicaragua. So it's pretty big, because you impact the whole family. Really, with this stove, you're changing generations. You're changing how women cook. And a family is no smoke in a house. Can you imagine living in a house where there's always smoke? Mm. It's horrible. That's why they had their upper respiratory problems in their lungs, because they were inhaling 24/7 smoke from the open fire.
Boy, no kidding. What a pleasure to talk to you, and a treat, because we're going to talk here. She's going to pass it over to Steve Miller, president of Helps. He's the guy who decided to come up with this brilliant idea and start Helps International and get people excited about it. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Steve Miller is here, the president of Helps.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Hello.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Kate, how are you?
I'm good. You know, tell us about why you jumped into this. What made you, you know, you're a guy, you had some extra money, we'll say you're a business guy, and you wanted to do something which is great, philanthropic, help somebody, help some people. How did you, first of all, start Helps? How did you choose Helps?
Well, you know, I guess the smart answer is they chose us. But I think the real reality is that, you know, and anybody from a human side of things, when you see people in need, you generally react. And so I don't think we're any different from that. But I think as we develop this, we've been doing this for, 25 years now. So as we developed and went on in time, we saw and we began to learn a little bit about Latin America. And the importance of Latin America really came home to us. You know, for the United States, it's our number one trading partner.
Yeah.
In fact, Mexico and Canada are tied for number one themselves.
Yeah.
It's not China. It's not Europe. It's Latin America. So
that's part of the reason why, then. I mean, you saw that. You saw the need that was certainly there. And Michelle was just explaining about the stoves. How significant is that to these families?
Say that again, how is what?
How significant are the stoves to these families?
Oh, it's huge, because if you think about a third of the population of Mexico, think about this, still cooks their food over open fires in the house. Mm. And the woman is locked into gathering firewood, and breathing air that's maybe 400 times the level of carbon monoxide EPA lets us have. And she is locked into a cycle of poverty that she'll never get out of. Kids fall in the fire. And if you think of this, people would never understand this, but they spend 40% of their entire income just to buy wood to cook on.
Wow.
So if we look at our hemisphere and say, you know, this is a pretty important hemisphere for us all. How can we help people that are living under the poverty line, which is more than half our populations? Well, one way is to free their income from their energy dependence on wood. So what we do is we develop a stove called the O'Neill, and it saves 70% of that expense of the wood, and if they buy it. And that goes right into their pocket. That is a very tangible thing, along with the health and the children aren't being burned and all that stuff.
Right.
But the stove is one of the devices that we believe has to occur to change the way people live in their homes. Because if you don't do that, generationally, they will never get out of poverty.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a simple, stupid thing. You
right.
know, you think of stove, what's that? But
sure.
In reality, sometimes the most profound things are the simplest.
Yeah, no kidding. That 70% is such a huge number. For the medical teams, you take the medical teams, you get volunteers from all over the country. Where do you primarily get the teams from that go down and help you out in Latin America?
We have chapters all around the United States, in Michigan, Minnesota, and California, and Texas, and Oregon, and, you know, all around the country we have people that come in. And it's a testimony to the medical people of this country. You know, everybody hears about bad doctors and everything. Let me tell you about the good doctors and the nurses. They spend their own money. They go down and they take their own vacation to help people that they don't know that they'll never get a dime from. That's the American medical community, and I've been privileged the last, you know, 25 years to work with them. And
yeah.
These folks come back year after year, and they are amazing at what they do. So, yeah, they come from all over the country, and they're amazing people, and they're very compassionate people. They represent the best that this country can give.
Yeah, no kidding. Well said. What does it mean for you when you first saw, and you must have seen this on the ground, when you first really started to realize those numbers that you were talking about and you started to see what was happening with the medical teams, what did that do for you, Steve? I mean, it had to give you a different perspective after 25 years especially.
Well, if you go down there and see what you see, we have this expression that says, you know, and your garage door doesn't work when you get back, it doesn't bother you quite so much. You know, it is a great perspective of life to be had by understanding what you have versus what the rest of the world has and really what you need at the end of the day. We don't need a lot of our stuff, and that
right.
doesn't make us happy. You know, happiness doesn't come from what you own and the new car you have in your garage. It's nice. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
But it's not all. It's not everything. And I think what we've learned is, and certainly I have, is the power of the volunteer and what service does to people's lives. And it certainly has been the case within health. And I'll tell you, for me, it's really an experience. When I have a stove team, because we have volunteers to come down and put in stoves into these homes and medical volunteers, but when I have a stove team behind me and I pull up to one of these houses in the mountains, and the smoke's billowing and the kids making the front yard, the woman is back. She has no fire in her eye at all.
Mm.
And I know when I look at that house and in 45 minutes, I am going to rock their world. I will change them generationally, and they have to want the stove in the first place, but they really don't know what's going to happen to them. And it's really neat to come back later. Yes, the lady, well, have you saved any money? She says, oh, yeah, I have money now. Well, what are you doing with the money? Well, I'm buying clothes for the kids. Well, I mean, that's all it's about
right.
at the end of the day.
Boy, no kidding. We want to tell everybody to find out more about Helps. Go to helpsinternational.org. It's laid out really well. You can check out the videos and stuff, and you'll get a sense of what Steve is talking about. Powerful, 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 powerful work. 25 years. Wow. I hope more people learn that lesson. I like what you said about service. It's the whole idea when you see the volunteer and how it all connects. Steve, thanks so much for joining us, okay. You and Michelle, here on America
Thank
Tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anything we can do, let us know.
All right. Thank you.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, microplant powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's LeSig.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeSig.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
Did anybody nail the score? It was our final nail the score of the season. And did anybody else win the little contest that we have? Because Chris in Connecticut really drained the prize closet. But, you know, it's still about bragging rights. And there were some prizes that you would have received if you did nail the score. So, did anybody nail the score? We're going to tell you about that in a second. But speaking of getting nailed, Egypt is getting hammered. That's what everybody's talking about, what happens with Egypt in the Middle East. We started the show with our conversation with Victoria Jones inside the Beltway. What was the reaction? What are they saying from the White House? 297, almost 300 killed in Egypt so far in those last 3 weeks. But the protest seems to be, like I said, waning. So all of that hoopla over the Muslim Brotherhood and who takes over next, and which is important because if you look at our involvement in the Middle East, for goodness sake, as much as many of us think, well, just get out of Afghanistan, drop the situation, that's not happening. The investment's there, and certainly under the current administration, it's not going to happen, and it's not going to happen in the next administration, whether it's Obama Part 2 or whoever comes in next, because the so-called exit date has already been thrown out as 2014. So you can't completely ignore the Middle East, as much as with some of what's happened there and the money that's been poured into the Middle East in these different conflicts and whatnot. Many of us would say, forget it, screw it. I mean, this is what is draining our education. This is what's draining the coffers partially in the United States. It's not going to happen. That's the bottom line. There's reality in what we think should have happened, but you can't wind the clock back. So moving forward, Mubarak, what, gets kind of a stay, and then he's going to step aside, but who steps in? The push to still see him go away is still there. However, in the square, even though there are protesters, because now they're kind of barricaded in this tent camp, it's different than initially the protests were the last 4 or 5 days. So the pressure, can they maintain, and this is the whole thing, can they maintain pressure on the government when Mubarak is pushed aside? Or if he refuses to say goodbye until September, that's always been what the issue is. You think of Iran and the protests and the young people who Twittered out and some of the sad stories we heard as a result and how brave they were to fight and keep saying we want, you know, free elections and we don't believe the election results and all that sort of stuff. But in the end, there wasn't enough steam. So here we go again. You've got hundreds of thousands of people that took part in a lot of the demonstrations and almost 300 people dead. The Muslim Brotherhood has been the best organized opposition group, but they said they're probably going to quit the process if the demands are not met, including Mubarak being gone. As for the U.S., it's this little dance of we'll see what happens, we're being cautious, we have to see what this orderly transition is. For decades, this Egypt has been a strategic ally, you know, all that other sort of stuff. So if Mubarak does leave, but which he will by September, if nothing else, who is he replaced with? What if there is another authoritarian person waiting in the wings, another dictator? See, that's the problem. You know, the old thing of be careful what you wish for. So the Muslim Brotherhood, looking at their background and what direction they would take if they were the group to be put in place, which I don't think so, because I don't think they've got the majority of the support. I think if the Muslim Brotherhood got into power, it'd be disastrous for Egypt for sure, and not too good for the United States, because they have massive anti-American rhetoric that courses through their blood. Absolutely. If you read anything about their, I'll call it their manifesto, and just look at it, even not just scratch the surface, you'll see it's not what it appears to be. It's simply not. So the Muslim Brotherhood as a whole are really not about peace and freedom. They are about, okay, ultimately, if we can't get people to see our way, jihad. It's right there from ultimately the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. So unless he's thrown out, while there might be a certain arm of the Muslim Brotherhood who aren't this way, ultimately that's not the way it's set up. So you're starting to see them pull back. And Mubarak has set up two committees that are drawing up this constitution, one of the demands of the protesters. Mubarak chaired the first meeting of this new cabinet, which supposedly is supposed to keep, this is the money part, the subsidies, in other words, the money that's flying into the country in full, and draw in foreign investment. I mean, this was part of the problem. Where do you think the money went besides the military in Egypt for 30-plus years? So then you have Congressman Ron Paul saying, let's just cut the crap. Let's cut the aid to Egypt then. If you know, why keep going in this direction? Why are we giving aid to Egypt if this is what's going to happen? Why are we paying for this? It doesn't make any sense. And he has a great point. If they're going to continue to go down this path, what are you paying for? Are you paying for peace and an ally in the Middle East in a significant spot? In other words, kind of as the blockade to Iran and Israel and some of else what lies beneath, and also the Suez Canal. I mean, you have to ask yourself that. What is the United States paying for? What are they paying for? In the interest of time, I would be remiss not to talk about the Super Bowl here for a second. The Super Bowl, not a surprise. Every single year we say it. The Super Bowl was the most watched event of the year. 111 million people watched the Super Bowl. Were they disappointed with the ads? Were they disappointed because the ads become such a big thing now? Were they disappointed with the game? The Packers go back to Titletown as the Super Bowl champs. Aaron Rodgers, the MVP. And you can bet that the people in all over Wisconsin were loud and proud. I mean, this Lambeau Field crowd, they gobble up football. So did anybody nail the score? Ultimately, did anybody nail the score? And the answer to that question is nobody nailed the score. Oh, so close, but yet so far away. I say it every single time. It's not like horseshoes. It's not about who's the closest, because I've had people ask me that. Well, doesn't close count? Can you imagine if we took close? Because then you could take it on either side of the numbers, and that would be absolutely disastrous if we decided to do it that way. So the bottom line is, for all of you who participated in Nail the Score this season, thank you very much. But nobody got it. Nobody got it right. However, Aaron Rodgers knew exactly what he was going to say once they nailed the win. What did he say afterwards?
I'm going to Disney World!
So 31-25 was the final score, and the closest one at 31-25, Ralph in Kentucky, who was actually calling in for Carol, 31-25, he had 31-21. Steelers, that was part of the problem. But nobody else came close. He wasn't even really that close because he said Steelers. Packers-wise, well, we did have Lacey in Kentucky who said 31-27. Too bad that wasn't 31-25. Close, but not exactly right. My guess, by the way, was the Packers would win it 35-27. So congratulations to all the Green Bay fans. I am sure you are still elated.